frankly, some of the others even tell me that he knows that we're good friends and that I'm taking good grace. So that's why we want to arrange our meetings. So, but if you, whenever you feel that he should not say it, you let me know. He doesn't have to. And if you want to discuss something completely private, you say so. Fair enough.
Sir, John, I'm our old friends, but I'm not.
When are you taking over? Through your...
Oh, I'm going to sign the table for 30.
Yeah. How long?
Well, I'll be back on Monday.
Senator, I'm the chairman, the leader of the office. I can't tell you what it's about. It's quite important. The Germans are in terrible trouble now because of this Berlin negotiation. The Kissinger party, which is the opposition to Brandt, which still has more seats than his party has. It's very close, you would call it. They're about ready to rip it in terms of the German treaty with the Russians. They could get some sort of Berlin agreement. Yes. So that's why I spent the time with the opposition, trying to keep them from busting Brandt in the tail. And of course, Brandt
is more thoroughly reliable.
Not very, let me put it this way. I think he's thoroughly reliable in his heart, but he isn't almost fine. Mm-hmm. Brandt gives you the impression of, because he speaks beautiful English, you know, everybody gets the impression that Brandt is very smart, but you know the fact we are often misled by foreigners who speak good English, when some of the smartest people may not know our language. Brandt is basically a fellow with a pretty good heart, but he's somewhat emotional, and I think somewhat gullible, and therefore not too reliable. On the other hand, we're sort of guiding him along. We don't want Germany to come apart at the seams, because what will happen if they don't make this deal with the Russians is that, well, if they make the wrong kind of deal with the Russians on Berlin, as this guy says, the Germans, the Berliners decide to pack up and leave, which they might, which would leave a deserted city. Or, if they don't make the deal, either between the two fires, the great problem is that Berlin, that the Germans, sitting there, the most powerful people in Europe, creative people, dynamic people in Europe, without any arms, and then this fellow says, go to 2-1 and 2. They could even go to the Nazi right or to the left, completely to the left. They're likely, they're schizophrenic. The Germans basically are schizophrenic people anyway. Kissinger always has said this, and he is a German. But he says that's just exactly the problem.
So
what we're trying to do is to the left. It could, except that the left does not have a strong leader. Stronger leader, basically, the strongest German is probably Strauss. You know, the former defense minister, now in the opposition, you remember John Joker, who's a strong guy, and whether he would demagogue it and go right, I don't know. But anyway, it isn't going to be good. We want Germany to stay in the hell where he is. Stay out of our hair. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to use your name in vain, but the Swedish and the central bankers. They kind of asked me a lot of questions were common, since you didn't know to
sure.
That's all right. I'll tell them how thoroughly sound Kali is.
Yeah.
Not only for their consumption, because I think he is. I don't know. Yeah. No, I'm delighted with it. He's a great asset to you.
Yeah, he's
something.
He's a positive man.
Tell you something that I've heard him never do for you. Lay on his feet, make a little speech, policy point or two, this or that program, really sharing or so on. He personally, such warmth and affection, and praise you for your courage in doing this and doing that, that inspires confidence.
That's very important.
I haven't heard any other cabinet. Speak in that vein. They talk intellectually about
it. All about what they're doing.
Yeah. He talks about you.
Their programs.
Now, he's awfully smart. They're awfully useful to you, so far as I'm observed here.
I don't know what you can do about that, John. This discussion with you and the whole damn cabinet, everybody. It is not a question of loyalty.
No.
as indirectly as.
What about Volpe? I think sometimes he has, doesn't he?
Volpe does in his own way.
He's not quite old yet.
That's right. He's a little.
Let me fill you in on a little history, John. You'd be interested in this. Arthur and I had a long talk. I don't know whether it was when you left or when you were still in the Fed. I don't know. I was the captain. He said he needs a stronger man. Maybe that's when I made the decision in my own mind that I had to go on the Treasury. Kennedy, I have enormous affection for him. He's a very highly reliable, decent man. But he wasn't worth a damn as a salesman. Don't you agree?
Okay.
He's a strong man. Now, frankly, the two best men we've got in this whole economic thing are you and Batman and Connell. Both you, because of your enormous, you speak, you've got clout. Because of your background and so forth. And Connell, he speaks with such assurance, you know, that they think he must know something we don't. And I think it's helped a lot, don't you agree?
Yes, sir.
It makes a big difference. He spoke to the leading businessmen in Southern California while we were up in San Clemente, basically the Republican group, and all prepared to dislike him.
Yeah.
One of them was in my office the end of last week, and he said, "That's the finest man that I've heard speak to a group of in years." He said, "That man is presidential timber." He said, "He may be a Democrat, but," he said, "if that man ever runs for president," he said, "he's somebody that I'd like to get behind." Now, this is a fellow that you would never think would ever talk about a Democrat that way. But he talked about him also in vice presidential terms.
Yeah. Let's put it in another way.
Senator Connally, do you think of any other member of the cabinet as a potential candidate for president? He talked about that.
No.
Yes, I recall. He said one, not one. No. Vice president for that matter.
No, the closest is George Romney, long time.
No.
George,
well, he's Romney is fine, except that Romney doesn't have zoomed out there in 68 and couldn't make it. And you know, and once you fail in the major leagues, it's awful hard to come back again.
I'm not too sure about that.
No, he failed the minor. That's what I have to say. You can make it if you run the seat. He's got the nomination.
Well, I'll tell you, Romney just isn't too smart.
He
talked himself into
the
well,
problem. He talks too much, he doesn't listen enough. That's his problem. But, be that as it may.
No, I think he's...
But Connally's an asset, and he's got a very good... He's a good ball player, too. He'll speed
he's
up.
He's a wonderful ball player.
He'll just say, "Well, if you don't agree, I'll... Well, all right, what do we do?" And then once he's decided, he goes out there and suspends the line.
Okay.
And you've got to do that. You've got to have a ball player now.
He plays ball completely.
Tell me, how was it that you were able... I saw Connally brief yesterday after he returned from Texas, and he said that he had told me a week ago, and you had mentioned too, that this, the outflow of money from the Germans and all that and so forth, and he said that they had stabilized in the last week. What happened? Did something happen? Did the Fed do something?
Yeah, the Fed did something, Treasury did something.
Did you and he get together as all the way forward?
Yeah.
How does this, let me ask you this.
And the Europeans happened.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. Connally said that he says, he's going to send me a paper on this whole problem. He says that it's international thing, finance, or so. I don't know who's preparing that. Is that Volcker?
Well, Volcker is preparing it.
Does he know enough?
We're working on it with him.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. It seems to me,
paper to go to you.
The main thing is, it seems to you and he have got to be together. Did you consult throughout this period?
Yeah, we're consulting. And there's some differences of opinion.
Well, that's all right.
And there's a point beyond which, you see, drawing contingency plans where I'm not going to fight with my staff, and I'm not going to fight with both.
Contingency plans? Oh, heavens.
Yeah, but commonly not have an understanding.
Good. He doesn't go off in a different direction from you, vice versa, which is good.
No, we have an understanding. Thinking that what may happen in a time of crisis. explained it the best possible degree. I'm not smart enough to arrive to recognize the best possible.
No, thank you.
I want to do it over a weekend.
All right.
In a crisis.
That's good.
And then you can only go on.
I could agree.
And Conway, sees the thing the way I do.
He's an activist. Good.
Yeah, he's fine. Look, Mr. President, I'd like to be able to say to the central bankers that all this talk in the newspapers about benign neglect of the balance of payments is something that you repudiate and condemn.
Right. Also, you could tell them this talk in the newspapers to the effect that the administration is throwing in the towel on inflation.
Right.
You can repudiate that. You can say,
but I think you ought to find out. Personally,
you ought to find out what this president is saying. He's fighting these budget increases. He's has used and will use the veto in the future. We're trying to get some of the labor people around. The problem there is we haven't got the Congress with us. We can't pass any legislation. But I think it's important that you say that. You can say that I have an enormous interest in it. First, I have a great interest in this problem. I do not pretend to know anything about it. Second, that I am kept aware of it on a daily basis whenever there is a crisis and weekly basis when there is not. And third, that my interest extends to the point that I would love any recommendations or suggestions and so forth on how we can improve the situation. And that's what it is.
No.
Will that do it? What do you mean by that? They think we don't care about
them. Well, there is no civil talk on the part of my officials.
I see.
By referring to you personally, I think
sure.
Achievement.
Sure.
Now, central bankers are not in the habit of talking to the press.
But they might.
Well, there is that element. But, after all, I don't see. I talked this over with Conley this morning. It's always a good idea.
All right. If you and Conley agree, you know it.
Now, next, point of information. Well, let me explain very briefly how we quieted things down.
Yeah.
We had a strong speculative flurry.
Yeah.
The Treasury moved in, sold $1.5 billion to branches of American banks and paid them a higher interest rate than we would have to pay in this country. And that took some courage on Conley's part.
Did it?
Sure. Because after you imagine what Congress would say, why the hell do you want to pay these rich bankers a higher rate of interest than paying the ordinary small banker?
I see why you did it.
Well, this was to intercept the flow of dollars to European central banks. And it was a very smart thing to do. We had this contingency plan worked out long ago. Now, we got the Fed tightened up a bit. We didn't like doing it, but we did it, and I want you to know, not only for international reasons, you see. We wanted to get the other central banks to reduce their interest rates. You see, the outflow of dollars has been caused by very low interest rates here on short-term loans. On paper, high interest rates abroad. So I reached an understanding whereby they would go down a good deal and we would go up a little. Now, that was very reassuring to markets, you see, and the profit involved in moving funds was sharply reduced. And also it indicated that combined with the Treasury action, a willingness on our part to do something constructive and do it promptly. Now next, I would have done the same thing. Here is we've talked about 5 or 6% of the rate of growth of the money supply.
Yeah, you're 7, I know.
Well, no, look where we are. Yet in
12/13,
federal rate 14.0, March 10.5, quarter 8.6. And April is going to be another big month, apparently. Too fast. About 6. On the other hand, I don't want
you to... You don't want to step the hood up.
I don't want to...
The flower, you start to bloom now, you know.
Well, you see, the times tonight.
You wouldn't go below that particular level.
No.
See, if you go below it, it's gonna look like you're killing off this,
well,
the retail sales line that came up with it.
I may go below it, just as I've gone above it, I'm wanting to. This is out of control for short periods. It cannot be because of plan or policy. No, because we try to stay just on this target path. Now, I don't want interest rates to rise either, but a little bit at the short end. Now, can I pull it off? I don't know. Look at the objectives. They're partly contradictory. I want interest rates to rise just a little at the short end. I want them to come down at the long end. Bond yields, mortgage yields to come down. I want to keep the supply growing at something like 6%. And these are partly inconsistent objectives, and I want you to tackle them. But don't get alarmed about this recent rise in interest rates. It's under control.
Is it?
Yeah, we put in $1.5 billion yesterday. Now they're beginning to shoot up to bring it down again. It's under control. All right, now number three, and I'll leave you with the, I want to leave a thought with you on the steel problem.
Yeah.
It's serious.
Oh, God.
Now, I think this government, you personally, will have to reach a decision. Nothing more to let nature take its course.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not let nature take its course, you see, because we neglect the matter. Let's do that deliberately. Let that be a deliberate decision, and that's the way that if I may want to go, there may be good reasons for going that way. Now, to do it.
What do you think?
I'll tell you what I think. A lot of people, including myself, have urged a wage and price review board on you. You have good reasons for hesitating, which I recognize. Good reason is that you probably don't think of such a board realistically. Who would you put on it? Yeah, all right, I'm gonna try it. I've been through this exercise, and I don't mind. Tripartite board comes to mind immediately, and that isn't any good. The public members end up by being mediators. The other two groups catch on, and they begin making extreme demands. Very unsettling settlements in that kind of an environment. Therefore, you want public members. Where are you going to find the public members? Among lawyers, among jurists, among economists? Well, be careful when you turn to the economists. Be careful when you turn to the lawyers. It's not easy to find public members who will be thoroughly sound in this very difficult area, because it's partly economics and partly politics. And that is very difficult territory. I have a suggestion to you. You've got an instrumentality now in the Cabinet Committee on Economic Policy. It has served on and off occasionally this wage and price review board. You can use it like an accordion. Experiment with it. With greater authority or lesser authority. Depending on conditions as they develop, what happens to the price index, as the pressures, political pressures, whether it's doing well or doing badly. If you appointed a wage and price review board, which I've urged, you'd say, there is a real risk that the thing will be a flop by early 1972, and it'll be recognized as such. But the Cabinet Committee on Economic Policy, you see, you can expand its authority, you can contract it easily. Now, here is what I have in mind more specifically. You might issue a directive to Cabinet Committee on Economic Policy to test monthly, say, governmental policy on prices and wages, because something has to be done. Inflationary increases in that key industry. Or you can do something else. You can say, you can issue a directive to the Cabinet Committee to concern itself with key inflationary situations as they may develop over the next few months. And you give them authority to focus on one. And you may want to extend it, you see, later on. I wish you'd think about you might want to
urge you to say
how you would kick that over.
You could leave it open.
It's open
for it to move and
And he's such a director that would satisfy any people who talk to him, reach a press room.
Gee, you could have on that, you could come on.
Well, no, you've got the cabin.
It'd be better to.
Subcommittee?
Well, set it up as a.
Separate.
Separate committee, you know what I mean? I see your point, the use of the cabin is more controllable.
More.
Well, you've got Conley, you'd have to have Stan, you'd have to have labor. I wouldn't have a hell of a lot of.
Well, the.
Congress later, Congress later, Treasury. Well, then you get down, and you get housing, HUD, transportation, right? You get down to then you have too many. How many do you want on it? How many do you think you got?
I think I would take the present cabinet committee, because then you can say that you already have had a wage impression before. After all, you involved yourself in the lumber situation, the yard situation, and the construction.
For that committee, that's what McCracken is in.
The construction.
He's in the whole cabinet committee, too. He's in that process.
Oh, he's a member of the cabinet committee.
Yeah, well, he's basically the staff man.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, let me take a look at it. Let me take a look. Steel, then, it's a real tough one. I went through it in 59, and I know those people. Douglas Abel's trying to make points, and he's just a very partisan Democrat. He's going to be just like that fellow up. General Motors, he's going to try to embarrass us. And just at a time when.
I'll give you my own assessment, which may easily be wrong, Mr. President. I think it would be better to involve yourself in this and lose than have people say that here it is, this gigantic inflationary increase, the president did nothing to stop it.
They say, what do you do next?
Well, of course, so far I would urge only an appeal to the American people.
Yeah.
Appeal in which you will be joined by the entire cabinet, and you hope that the entire Congress, Republican and Democratic, will join you. The response tomorrow, of course, is.
And it's all right out of the market, of course. Foreign competition is killing them.
But the unions,
they don't give a damn.
No, because the unions can take care of their older workers, and the new ones coming along, they don't care.
Think about it. It's a good idea. Give us a little flexibility there.
You see, it's an accordion type way of pricing. You appoint an outside board, it's how you handle it.
That's right. And it might, an outside board, that's the word you're talking about. Outside board, and also they say who you put on it.
That's where I'm a little scared to go on my own proposal.
Yes.
I don't have to go on.
But here, with the cabinet committee,